May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Faith. Today, our gospel begins with the apostles asking Jesus to increase their faith. But what do we mean by that? What is faith? It certainly seems to be awfully powerful. The Gospels tell us that faith can cast out demons, heal the sick, even transplant trees and move mountains. No wonder the disciples were asking for increased faith. It seems to be a part of human nature to want more of what we perceive is good. 2 weeks ago, Father Brockman pointed out that among high-powered, wealthy executives, the one thing they had in common was that no matter how much money they had, they always wanted more. Peter, at the Last Supper, when Christ told him that he must have his feet washed, wanted more. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Today, the apostles want more faith. Marcus Borg points out in his discussion of faith that while faith is often thought of as belief, the Latin and Greek word from which it is translated actually means trust. And trust in God is the core of our faith. Trust in God's goodness, trust in God's mercy, trust in God's salvation and grace. Our first reading from Lamentations and Psalm 137 are not particularly upbeat and trusting, lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. Psalm 137 is actually the alternative psalm for today. Listed first for the psalm today is a portion of the third chapter of Lamentations, which include the far more hopeful verses. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is your portion, is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. A similarly hopeful message is heard in Psalm 37, which is also found in today's lectionary. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealing as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The apostles aren't sure they are up to the tasks that Jesus is describing. Jesus replies with a comparison to the mustard seed, one of the smallest things his listeners can imagine, telling them that even the tiniest amount of faith can do big things. Jesus switches immediately from talking about the power of faith to the parable of the unprofitable servant, first placing his listeners in the role of the master, then instructing them to consider themselves as worthless slaves. He changes the question from how much faith is enough to what is faith for? Jesus is telling the apostles that they have enough faith. It is up to them to put it to work, to go out and live it. How do we put faith to work? How do we live out our faith? Through service. In the parable of the unprofitable servant, the word slave can just as correctly be translated from the Greek as the word servant. And in other translations of this passage, it is used. Servant amplifies the concept of service without the negative connotations of coercion and oppression of American slavery. Through service to God, through serving others, is how we live our faith. That's interesting. Oh. Here at St. James, what is often referred to as Christian social outreach is called faith in action. And that is a good start. Together, as a group, we can do more to serve those God has called us to serve. But helping others through support of our church outreach also runs the risk of enabling the blindness that Father Dave talked about last week. It can be easy to simply write a check to help out, or drop off food items in the atrium, or donate items to Carol's closet, or donate used clothing in the shed in the corner of the parking lot. All of these things can be done without ever seeing the people they are intended for. I think that's why Carol's Closet is such a success. The people who make Carol's Closet happen actually interact with the people who come to us. Today's parable of the worthless slave reminds us that we shouldn't start to feel too good about ourselves for just doing what we are expected to do. One of the post-communion prayers in our prayer book includes the petition, "And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord." Christ came not to rule as master, but rather to serve. And through that service, Jesus provides us with an example. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in whom all our hope and trust is found, grant us faith the size of a mustard seed, that we can be emboldened to seek and serve Christ in all persons, and that by caring, helping, giving, we may serve thee faithfully. Amen.